B-Pod Studios.
On the line with us from ESPN, from the show Get Up, the greatest hair that they have in sports broadcasting, former NFL quarterback Dan Orlovsky is on the line with us right now. Dan, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you guys.
Thanks for coming on with us. Always great to talk to you. Now, Eagles have been busy in free agency, busy making trades, busy readjusting the cap to get ready to maybe sign some more free agents. But DeSean Jackson, probably the headline name coming back to Philadelphia. What do you think D-Jax has left to offer now that he's 32? He'll be 33 by the end of the season.
Plenty left to offer. You know, it's a guy that in the midst of some rough time last year, and he was playing quarterback for Tampa, averaged almost 20 yards a catch. And when you look at that number and then watch the tape, you go, he can still go down the field, and he can still scare defenses and make plays down the field. And so, you know, I've kind of been outspoken that this is probably one of the sneakier, really big and impactful moves in this time of offseason and free agency of the NFL, just because now you've added what was missing to an offense last year that has got a lot of people. They have the opportunity to be in different personnel groupings that are going to put defenses in a lot of questionable situations, and just the marriage with the quarterback. I mean, Carson Wentz, I believe, throws a fantastic deep ball. It's something that he does really well. DeSean Jackson goes deep better, as good as anybody in the NFL. So I love the pickup.
Is this a deal they should have made maybe at the trade deadline last year instead of going after Golden Tate?
Well, I mean, listen, Golden Tate is still a good football player. I guess you can look back and say, you know, man, that speed would have been so impactful. But Golden was coming off such a good stretch run that he had in Detroit. And, you know, having a guy like that, you can totally justify bringing in. But I do think that this answers that missing piece. I don't know if there was a missing piece that Golden filled, that Aguilar was able to work inside and Ertz inside. The piece was, we don't really have the guy that could not only literally go down the field and make the plays, but also scare defenses and going, okay, how do we stop the ball going over our head to DeSean Jackson? And so you can justify it either way. I think the reality is that it's made now, and it, like I said, offers the Eagles a lot of problems. They're going to be a big-time problem on offense for defenses next year.
I know you just touched on a little bit about how it'll affect the other receivers. How also will having DeSean Jackson in the fold help with this running game that we have?
Well, huge. You know, all right, so it's a Monday, and whoever's playing the Eagles, the Giants are playing the Eagles. And so now the Giants as a coaching staff on Monday before the game have to sit down and, all right, what are we going to do defensively to make sure the ball does not go over our heads, that we don't give these free touchdowns away, 2-3-play drive touchdowns? And so you've got to strategically go, all right, well, maybe we have to play a little bit more two-high safety because of DeSean Jackson. Naturally, that breaks one person away from the line of scrimmage, and that helps the run game. And so that there's that immediate impact that it has on game plans. And I'm not talking, I don't want to blow this out of proportion thinking this is a Julio Jones type of impact. But at the end of the day, defensive coordinators are scared to give away easy touchdowns, and so are players. And so now you're forcing defenses to just scheme-wise, how do we want to make sure that do we want to challenge or force the Eagles to stay patient with the run and make them earn it and take people away from the box? And that's how you – it's math. It's numbers games. You've now allocated one of those numbers to paying attention to – somebody with elite speed.
Dan, on the offensive side of the ball, it looks like the Eagles are kind of saving money at the running back position, and then defensively, it looks like at the linebacker position also. A, do you see them doing it? And B, is that something that's kind of going on around the league?
Well, yeah, I mean, you could kind of look at the prize at the position, really, and Le'Veon Bell, and I know there might be some other variables tied to it and whatnot, but no one really was throwing money at him. Adam Schefter for ESPN even reported that his agent had to kind of go drum up some interest. I'm not one who necessarily devalues the running back. There are some people in the NFL. I also believe that the Eagles, I like Adams. I believe that the Eagles have like equipped running backs, and this is a draft that there's some pieces that could be there. And so I don't know necessarily you have to go out and make sure that you go get a premier tailback in free agency. If you get him in the draft, different story. With the Eagles and the linebackers, I look at it like this. The Eagles do a really good job, and I believe in this, of building football teams inside out. And so they've invested on the defensive line, obviously Brandon Graham back and Malik Jackson. What that does is force teams to figure out, all right, we got to double team at least somebody, whether it's in the run game or the pass game. Somebody's got to be double teamed. And probably in the Eagles' case, because their players are so good, they might have to double team two guys with Fletcher Cox and Malik Jackson. And so that's going to allow the linebackers to, I don't want to say be lesser players, but you don't have to have linebackers that are constantly going to have to be beating block after block after block, because those defensive linemen are going to be eating up the offensive linemen so much.
Speaking with Dan Orlovsky, ESPN, the show Get Up, obviously. And Dan, when you look at some of the other transactions in the NFC East, I guess,
yeah,
the Giants go and trade Odell Beckham Jr. When that news came down the other day, what was your reaction to it?
Well, I was fired up for the Browns. I truthfully was. I love the fact that they've kind of realized, right, this is our time. But talking directly to the NFC East and the Giants, I get it. I'm one of the people who like goes, all right, you could justify this move. It's just so late. This should have happened last draft when you had the chance at the number two pick to take a quarterback, as great as Saquon Barkley is. And so it just seems to be, you know, sometimes when it comes to football, I say this about play callers. They just throw darts at the wall and hopefully the play works. There's no rhyme or reason. It just seems like the Giants might be in that place of like, all right, well, let's do this move, see if it works, and let's do that move and see if it works. I know this. People can say what they want about Odell Beckham, but at the end of the day, Bill Belichick at the back end of the Super Bowl said, man, we won because of our players, players over plays. And Odell Beckham is an incredible football player. And so I posed this question yesterday. What group of coaches and front office people feel better? The Eagles, the Redskins and the Cowboys, or the Bengals, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Baltimore Ravens? Because now that one is Odell Beckham's out of the NFC East, I bet you those teams feel a lot better. And he's in the AFC South. It's like, man, what are we going to do now? So, AFC North. It's like, what are we going to do now? So, it's a puzzling move on many fronts for the Giants, but obviously they've gone full rebuild.
Now, when it comes to Odell being out there in Cleveland, you have a lot of guys that kind of have that same type of energy and swag. How do you think all of that's going to mix with Baker and all of those guys out there?
Yeah, I'm a big believer in chemistry. I know that is the number one question now. Everyone knows the talent level is there. How does Freddie Kitchens manage it? I look at it like this. Jarvis Landry and Odell have been outspoken about, they don't have a friendship. They are literally brothers from another mother type thing. Like they share blood in their eyes. And so they get as much joy out of seeing each other succeed as they do their own success. I think that's a very real thing for them. I also look at it, their quarterback is the alpha of all alphas in Baker Mayfield. And Baker Mayfield talks like Odell, and he dresses like Odell. They listen to the same music. They're into the same kind of stuff. And so I think that, like, yes, the personalities are there, but they also have this, they're the same kind of guys. They're the same kind. They're very similar in age. They like spending time with each other. They hang out off the field. When you have that, you can go through good and bad, and you can rely on it. You can be accountable, and you can be honest with each other. I don't believe that the personality thing is as big of a deal as some people are making it out to be, because I believe that these guys are really good players that have been on bad teams and are going, we got a chance here to do something that is really, really special in this city. Let's be a part of that rather than individual success.
All right, Dan Orlovsky of ESPN, one last question for you. What can Jaguars fans expect from Nick Foles as he heads down to Jacksonville?
Yeah, I'm as big a Nick Foles fan as there is, and I'm excited for him and happy that he finally got something that he earned with his payday. I just look at it, the expectations cannot be to get the Nick Foles that was in Philly. And that's just me being honest, because this is a Jacksonville Jaguar roster that isn't very deep and it's not very talented. They have one guy on their football team that has 100 catches in his NFL career, Marquise Lee, and he's coming off a devastating knee injury. So they don't have many guys that are proven, maybe a little bit of a potential or talent, but there's not much proven. They've got an offensive line that's not very good, and they were beat up. They've got an unreliable running back. And so there is no dominant offensive line like he had in Philly. There is no Alshon Jeffrey. There is no Zach Ertz. There is no Aguilar. And so there's no Brent Celek, you know? And so the expectation can't be, well, we're going to get the guy that we saw in Philly. I'm hopeful, but I didn't like any quarterback going down to that Jacksonville situation. So I hope he plays well. I just don't believe it's likely.
All right, Dan Orlovsky, ESPN. Always great talking to you, man. Thanks for coming on with us.
Appreciate you guys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.